Morning's message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Dear friends in Christ, you know, whenever I hear this account of the calling of the first disciples of Peter and Andrew and James and John, these four fishermen, the story of them immediately leaving behind their nets, their boats, and for two of them, their father. I kind of wonder, and I'm not sure if you ever wonder, is what did their mothers think about this? Or their wives? Did one mom ask, "How can you be so irresponsible?" Maybe Salome said to James and John, "Are you really going to leave your dad and take care of this whole business? You're going to leave him to run this boat all by himself?" Maybe Peter's mother-in-law cried out, "Why did my daughter have to marry such a hothead?" Matthew, of course, doesn't tell us any of this. We only hear that they left immediately and followed. So that must be all that matters, but it's kind of crazy, don't you think? It looks like these disciples are really making a very impulsive move. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they'd built a solid business. They'd had a settled life. They had a home and families, responsibilities and rewards. Why would they so quickly leave them all behind just to follow this itinerant rabbi, Jesus? Of course, we only hear that they left and followed. Why would they ever, though, leave their known world in order to follow the unknown? Well, we all have our ways of seeing the world, our own comfort zone, our own settled life. So whenever Jesus calls us in His Word, He calls us to change, to repent, to not be what we were before. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Why would we ever leave behind everything that we know in order to be changed by Him? And then we have Jesus, of course. Jesus left His hometown of Nazareth to begin His ministry out of Capernaum. And He wouldn't return to Nazareth at all except to visit, and that didn't turn out too good. Much more than that, Jesus left His incredibly comfortable, eternally divine home in heaven to come to this earth to be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Why would He leave heaven to come here? It's crazy. But is it really so crazy? I mean, what were these four fishermen really leaving behind? Isaiah actually called their land the people dwelling in darkness. They were among those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death. Maybe everything wasn't really as comfortable as it seemed. Because the people around the disciples, they weren't doing too well. You know, as we read on, we read this list of woes that the crowds were going through. You know, His fame, look at who they brought to Him, the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics. These are the people that are around Jesus, or around these disciples. So maybe it wasn't that great or as comfortable. And, I mean, let's face it, who wouldn't want to leave all these woes, these ailments, these things behind them? Of course, the question is, what kind of darkness are you and I in? What are we in? What darkness are we in? What kinds of sicknesses prevail on us? See, no matter how settled or comfortable our lives might appear, we're living in the region, the world of sin. We chase after other gods and cause a lot of harm to ourselves and to one another. Because of our sin, we also live daily in that same shadow of death. There's illness, there's sadness, there's sufferings. They all remind us of the inevitability of death. As I like to say, nobody gets out of this life alive. So who wouldn't want to leave all this behind and follow Jesus? See, it's not really all that crazy to follow Jesus, is it? And these four fishermen, they get to see it all firsthand. They're going to have a front row seat for all of Jesus' miracles, all of his healings. Their ears are going to be the very first to hear the gracious words of life that come from Jesus' lips. But of course, they haven't seen it all. They haven't heard it all yet. At the very start, they don't know where the finish might be. They just know they're going to follow Jesus. They don't know where Jesus is taking them. And many times they think he's going the wrong way. There's one time Peter even takes him aside and starts rebuking him. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what we see over and over. They think he's going the wrong way. Of course, they're not going to know the true joy of following Jesus until his resurrection. Until they see that death could not hold him. That's the same. The thing is that you and I, we actually get to see the whole story. We get to see and hear everything from Jesus. The whole story given by the evangelist of Jesus' life, of his healing, of his teaching. We get to hear and read and see what Jesus has done for us. We actually have the cross before our eyes each and every day. You and I, we have forgiveness, starting already in our baptism, like we celebrated this morning. We have forgiveness of our sins. And we have the word of God's mercy to call us anew every morning. We have the Lord's Supper that's given to assure us that we are his forgiven ones. We haven't seen the end of it yet. We walk by faith, not by sight yet. But it's not crazy to follow Jesus, because as we begin to follow him, what we actually see the light at the end. Stephen Covey, in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the very first habit is begin with the end in mind. And I think that's truly a Christian way of looking at things. We know that this is not permanent, that we will be resurrected on that last day, and that we'll be with Jesus forever. You see, as we follow Jesus, we're actually following the light of the world. That Jesus, this rabbi that's calling fishermen to leave their nets behind and follow him, he is the light of the world. And his blessed light is already shining as he heals all these sicknesses that we see in our text today. And he'll carry these sicknesses to the darkness of the cross. All that is darkness will be taken by him to the cross. And the light of the world actually shines the very brightest on the darkest day, on Good Friday. See, his compassion is for everyone. For the whole world. Nobody who's sick or sinful is left out of his all-encompassing embrace there on the cross. Nobody's left out of the declaration that he makes when he says, "It is finished, it's done, sins have been paid for." All it takes is belief, faith in him. See, because Jesus, the light of the world, and he is God of God, light of light, he didn't stay dead after that cross. Jesus rose from the dead in order that the light of his grace might shine through the whole world. And these fishermen that are turned into fishers of men were each witnesses of that resurrection light. See, this is the end to which Jesus called them to follow. They proclaimed to the world that Jesus is the light of the world. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is the life of men. And so now we live by their witness. We've got the light of Christ through their word to us. They're witnesses of Christ, and they've given us His word. So we follow Him today, laying down the sins that we confess and being healed in His absolution. We follow Jesus, acting on His invitation to be fed and nourished at His table. We follow Jesus tomorrow when we rise in His name as people in this world. And let's face it, following has to begin somewhere, right? We always have to begin somewhere. Galilee was as good a starting place as any. It was a place of sin and sorrow and sickness of daily life. Yet that's where Jesus comes to. That's where He puts His... that's where He lives. That's where He comes with His call to leave the old and enter into the newness of life in Him. He's already changed those fishermen by His word. Their lives are never going to be the same. They're already in the kingdom. The beginning is now shaped by the end. Jesus knows exactly how He's going to love these disciples and how He will love the world with His holy life and His innocent death and His victorious resurrection. And Jesus has called them to follow Him. And where you and I are right now, that's a great place to begin as well, isn't it? No matter where we are, Jesus is here in His Word, and He calls us to follow Him. Follow Him daily, to be forgiven by Him, to live in His grace that makes us His, makes you and me His. He wants us to come with Him. See, no matter how we feel, Jesus is here in His Word. He is here in His Word to tell us how He feels about us. He wants us to come with Him, to see what He's done for you and me, and to see what He will do for us each and every day. So no matter how sick or healthy we might be, Jesus is right here with us in His Word to heal us in our hearts and in our spirits. By His mercy, and is a sign of the healing that will be forever. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not crazy to follow Jesus. It's really not. It's our life, actually, to be with Him, to hear Him, to be loved by Him, and at last to see Him as our risen light forever. Because we, as the people walking in darkness of this world, have seen that great light. And that light was the life of men. Was the life of Christ. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.